A classically trained and fearless ensemble, Northwest Dance Project comes to Marriott Center for Dance, performing an all-original repertoire from a select roster of accomplished choreographers, as well as promising new talents. January 22nd, tickets at utahpresents.org.
I'm Henry Glasheen, Digital Content Coordinator for Slug, and you're listening to Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. An acronym for Salt Lake Underground, Slug is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, covering music, arts, lifestyle, and events. In this episode, we'll be interviewing Salt Lake City's Sub Rosa about their last tour and their upcoming album. Sub Rosa are an experimental doom metal band from Salt Lake City, and over the years they've released four full-length albums, the two most recent being featured in multiple metal magazines and websites as milestone releases, and making several year-end top album lists. The band have also toured the United States and Europe extensively, most recently visiting Roadburn, Doom Over Leipzig, Coup des Linea, and Psycho Fest. The band currently consists of Rebecca Vernon on lead vocals and guitar, Sarah Pendleton and Kim Pack on violin, Levi Hanna on bass, and Andy Patterson on drums, who also serves as the band's producer. I sat down with Vernon and Pack in the Soundwave studio to talk about their tour last year and the new album they're recording. You guys had like a really hectic and hefty tour schedule for 2015. Like every time I saw you guys on Facebook, you were in a new city or a new country, and it was pretty cool to watch. How did you guys keep that up over an entire year?
I don't feel like we went on really long tours or arduous tours or anything, but we did a lot of little short things throughout the year, you know, but there would be like time in between each one. So it wasn't like too overwhelming, I think. What do you think, Kim?
Yeah, it didn't feel arduous to me either. It was more... What was the longest one? It was a few weeks, right?
Europe was like a week, I think.
Oh, yeah.
7 days. And, and then Cult of Luna was only 7 days, too.
Oh, wow.
It may have been the Facebook illusion.
Yeah, Facebook just creates that, like, weird... Like, maybe I was seeing tour dates from, like, a week or, like, 3 months early or something.
I mean... The Boris tour the year before that in 2014 was probably our longest tour. It was 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So we did like an East Coast loop.
That's a long time to be on tour.
I think it helps to have time off. I think that was probably helpful. And then so every time we were about to go on a burst, we were ready for it. We were just really excited for it.
Yeah, it never felt like too much. Yeah. Kim's done a lot of touring, though. Like she has toured like months at a time with Loom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She's a
young and ambitious.
She's a tour warrior.
That's awesome. As you kind of mentioned, you guys were like going through the festival circuit in Europe, and you had that little brief West Coast stint with Cult of Luna. What were some of the most memorable tour moments you guys had over the last year?
I think that playing Roadburn was a really amazing moment. Like, we played a church called Het Patronaat, and it has these stained glass windows with bar. I think there were bars over them, too, to protect the stained glass. It's just, and it had a pitched roof and, like, sun pouring in and, like, just it was full and... There's just a special feeling in that room. Like, most bands that play Roadburn want to play Het Patronaat, like, either the main stage or Het Patronaat. It's just cool.
It was magical. It's almost one of those moments that's so surreal that you... can't even really take it all in.
Yeah.
That's totally awesome.
There's a really cool feeling there. It was my first time meeting my friend Kunal Sinha from India. I've been really, really good friends with him for 3 years, and Roadburn was the first time we ever met, you know, because we were online friends.
Oh, yeah.
He was there, right there in the front of the stage watching us and, like, this huge smile on his face, and that was really cool.
Oh, man, it's always going to be great to be able to meet your fans, like, outside of the United States and outside of the state, for heaven's sake. I mean, it's just got to be great to be able to connect with those people and then finally actually see them and have them enjoy a show in person.
It's yes. True. We meet a lot of fans that we kind of like friends we made over Facebook. Kunal's a really, really good friend. Like, we're very close.
Yeah, we definitely have people we look forward to seeing on the road and people that we play music with. That's one of my favorite things, too, is running into our friends overseas that we play music with. Like, being able to play that festival with friends was incredible because Bowitch opened right mm-hmm. before us in Het Patronaat.
Oh, cool.
And yeah. That was a kind of like a spiritual experience, I'd say.
It's cool. The Doom, underground Doom scene is small enough that when you play festivals, you'll often run into someone you know. Like, we played another festival on that in Europe on that tour in Belgium, and it was kind of a little bit of a more mainstream metal fest, and we had never met Thou before, but mm-hmm. they were kind of the odd man out at the festival too with us, and so we all just kind of hung out and bonded.
Not to abruptly change paces here, but I'm going to just abruptly change paces here because, I mean, I know you guys were on tour and you've had tons of great tour experiences, but I know that the great elephant in the room is that you guys are recording a new album. Mm-hmm. That is really exciting.
I got nervous when you started talking about that. Like, what do you know?
What have I seen?
I told you something.
Oh, yeah. So what details can you give us about the album so far?
My thing is, if you want to know a little bit about the upcoming album, then you should read a book that we're all very big fans of, which Rebecca will tell you the name of.
It's called We by Yevgeny Zamyatin, a Russian writer. We as in W-E, not the computer TV sports thing. It was written in 1924. And it was actually one of the first dystopian novels. And also, I think, one of the first sci-fi novels. I'm probably totally wrong about that. Jules Verne might predate that. I don't know. It was a big influence for George Orwell with 1984. And you can see the plot similarities, but they're very different angles. And I connect more with the angles in We, actually, even than 1984. So...
Oh.
Yeah.
There's a lot of heart in that book.
Yeah.
So I think the objective is to pour that heart and that new element of self-discovery into the music that we're writing right now.
Yes.
So I know you've kind of covered this a little bit, but I'm curious about why you selected this particular work for this album. I mean, obviously it's a very big influence for you guys, but why this and why now?
Well, I started reading it about a year and a half ago, and I just was so struck by the book that I was like, this is what... We have to write the next album around this book. It's so amazing. And that's how. It wasn't just like, oh, what should we write about? Oh, let's write about that. You know? It was just something that happened to come into my life right at the time we were about to start writing.
You've mentioned in your interview with Decibel that this is going to be a concept album. What are some of the challenges you face writing a concept album versus something a little bit different?
Condensing.
There's just so much we want to say.
It's true, though. I really believe that has been the biggest challenge, is condensing content. There was a period where we were debating on whether or not we should do a 2-volume album. There is so much to write, and Rebecca has so much to say. It's true, and it's all very, very powerful. And it's like, you know, the worry is that you're leaving something out, in a way.
Mm-hmm. I think initially there was like an hour and 50 minutes of guitar music, of the basic guitar riffs. And then we had to cut. Now we're down to 64 minutes. And now we're starting to cut parts that we actually love, but just aren't quite right for the flow or something. We just hacked off a piece of a song yesterday that's one of my favorite parts of the album. But I had to admit, like, it just doesn't flow. It is not right in this song. We might hack it off and make it its own little thing. I've written pages and pages of lyrics and had to, like, just cut out lyrics I'm in love with, but just aren't, you know, there's just too much. There's too much material.
We've had to do the same thing. It's almost like there's, this album has created so much breathing room for us that we want to play through an entire song. Like, we just want to soar with these songs, and the challenge has been kind of scale it back a little bit. You still want it to be special. You don't want to overwhelm people with strings. So, yeah, that's been the biggest challenge I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot more violin work than it is ending up on the album. Like, same exact thing. Like, having to cut and edit so hard.
It's a good challenge to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is an awesome challenge to have. Like, having too much, although, yeah, it could be heartbreaking when you have to cut something that you absolutely love. What are you noticing musically has changed about this album? Like, you mentioned when we talked about More Constant Than the Gods, so you guys were really dealing with some heavy subject matter of, like, death, of loss, of learning to let go, and kind of going with something a little bit more, as you said, dystopian, but with more heart and more... I'm not sure if that necessarily means that there's more optimism, but how do you feel it affecting your music? Do you feel like there's a different vibe this time around?
Absolutely. In some ways, now that you put it that way, now that you're tying the past album into this one, I'm seeing almost on a universal level, first starting with Rebecca and then branching out to the rest of us, and then on a universal level, I'm seeing that the last album was kind of this addressing of things, feelings, thoughts, and then a healing process. And this album is kind of like the pushing forward, whether it be through anger or passion or heart or optimism or whatever is motivating you. It definitely has this pushing forward energy to it, I would say. Revolutionary feeling.
I feel like the lyrical content is like this tension between it's I mean, I don't want to give like everything away. You haven't given anything away. But like, there's like these questions that the book brings up that are so incredible and are, I think, the best and most important questions known to mankind, probably. And so the album is just kind of exploring those questions. And there is definitely a revolutionary aspect. That was a good way to put it. Because the main character of the novel, We, is a revolutionary. And there's a song that's kind of about her. So
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And you guys mentioned that there was kind of more of an operatic or like a symphonic structure to mm-hmm. this album. How do you mean that? I mean, not to give everything away, but I'm just curious.
Like, let us sing it for you. How much time do we have?
Let me pull out my voice memos on my iPhone. Kim is good at explaining this.
We were talking about it. Was it last night?
Yesterday,
yeah. We were talking about it. We were kind of having that moment of, oh, well, this seems a little bit orchestral. There are movements. It seems like there are movements that are carrying this album. And, you know, how do we feel about that? And we'd realize that this, it's kind of a natural thing. It's a natural place that I think we've arrived at. It kind of makes sense that we got here.
It's been kind of evolving like that. Like, our songs have been becoming longer, but also been becoming more almost like movement oriented. Mm-hmm. And this album, four of the songs are like that. And one song in particular, the one about the heroine of We, it is like a sonic following of the plot of the book. Mm-hmm. Like each little scene, and it's a chronological, like almost like following the plot of the book. We've never done anything like that, so.
So maybe in a way it's less of a flat feeling because it's not just about this one incident that happened and that one feeling that was felt at that time. It's like a progression.
It's like a journey.
Throughout the incident.
Like when a composer writes a symphony or something, or a piece for an opera, maybe it's following a few different events. Maybe an opera is a bad comparison, but symphony maybe.
And you guys mentioned that like this is kind of a natural progression for you. You don't feel like this was kind of like a forced thing. This was just kind of the way you were already going. I do want to mention that you guys have been going there for quite some time. It's been like 10 years, hasn't it? You guys have passed the 10-year mark?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. How has that changed the way that you guys see your band?
Well, for one, we're making a back patch to commemorate it. The first back patch we've ever made.
Awesome.
And that's going to come out probably in the next month.
There's something to be said about looking back and acknowledging that things have changed and we've come from a different place. And with new members, I think things have changed and just being grateful that we are allowing ourselves that freedom to change and morph into whatever it is that we want to hear. Basically,
it's taken all this time, to evolve as a band. It is this big, long journey. Like, we couldn't have written this album as our first album, you know?
That's not where you were at that time.
No. We had to grow. Especially Sarah and I, starting the band, had to grow as musicians. We were just barely learning our instruments. We had one amp between us at our first few practices. I mean, it was crazy. So, I'd never written songs. She had never written music. And we just had to kind of learn. And then Kim joined. And I think Loom was a certain style of music that was like challenging, but also Sub Rosa was challenging in another way. So Kim has been growing and now she has another project, Cicadas, that's stretching her and challenging her. So, it takes time to
to
improve.
Yeah, definitely. So we'd like to play a song from your 2013 release, More Constant Than the Gods. Why don't you go ahead and introduce it to our listeners?
This is The Usher for More Constant Than the Gods. It was partially inspired by the death of my mom in 2007.
Thank you so much for sitting down with me, you guys. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm glad you do.
just heard The Usher from Sub Rosa's 2013 album, More Constant Than the Gods. For more info on the band and to purchase their music, visit them at subrosa.cc. Thanks for listening to Slug Sound Waves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Christian Schultz, John Ford, and myself, Henry Glasheen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our show's theme was performed by Temples. Our main logo and art design was by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design was by Kate Colgan. Thanks for listening.